Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're also going to be looking a little bit at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you happen to find that on your way to John chapter 8, you might just make a little mark there so you can turn over to it when I refer to it. John chapter 8, we're going to read three familiar verses of Scripture. Beginning in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to preach this morning on truth. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you again this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Truth, not as we'd like it to be, but as it is, as you say it is, Lord. Drive it home to our hearts. Convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, I pray. Turn hearts to you, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was visiting in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when I was pastoring Pinewood Baptist Church in North Chattanooga. Knocked on the door of a lady in one of the older neighborhoods in North Chattanooga, and I was talking to her about the Lord, and I said something about the truth of God, which is the Word of God, and she just lit up. I said, truth. She said, truth. She said, I'll show you truth. And she went back inside. I didn't know what she was going to show me. She went back inside, comes out with a magazine, and right on the front she said, now this is truth, that even said so, plain truth. Now, for those of you that have been around a while, you know that that wasn't truth. It was a lie. That was a cult magazine. And so we had a lot of discussion that we had to go through. The word truth appears over 220 times in our Bibles. As a matter of fact, God is called the God of truth three times. The Bible is called the Word of Truth five times. The church is called the pillar and ground of the truth in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, you would think that truth is what everybody would want. But that's not the case. And that's nothing new, by the way. In the passage that we just read, Jesus is talking to the Jewish religious leaders who had perverted truth. They had come up with their own interpretation on salvation. One of those many interpretations, one of those many false interpretations, because there's only one gospel and only one way for it to be appropriated and all that. But they believed that by their works they could be good enough to get to heaven as long as they had the right kind of religious works. And yet the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us. John 8:45 says, and because I tell you the truth, this is what he says to him later, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, it's not uncommon in the Word of God for God to lament how easily and how quickly his own people would veer from the truth. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth faileth. In Jeremiah 7:28, again speaking to his people, he says, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. And then in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1, the prophet cries out, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is not truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And what's sad about each one of those passages that I just read from was that he was not writing them to the heathen pagan countries. He was writing them to the one nation on the planet that was known for worshiping the true God. And yet, although they used the names of the true God, they had perverted truth, so that truth faileth, because they had rejected the truth of God. You know, it seems like every political campaign, we hear so many promises. everybody. I don't care the party. I don't care who they are. They make promises. And we all know they get in power and they only usually even try to fulfill a couple of them. Which made it so interesting when the other day we went up to the James K. Polk House, the 11th president of the United States. And the one thing they noted about James Polk is he is the only president in the history of America to fulfill all of his campaign promises. Dig him up. Bring him back. I mean, really. I mean, the only one out of all of them that they could say that. He fulfilled all of his campaign promises. That was amazing. Now, you would think that a truth teller, a real truth teller, would be somebody that would be welcomed. And yet, this is not a new problem. Back in the 1700s, Samuel Johnson wrote this. He said, a man had rather have 100 lies told him than one truth which he does not wish to hear. And it's the same. How do you treat truth? In the Word of God, we see how truth is treated and to be treated or not to be treated several times. And those are the things that I'm going to present for your consideration this morning. I want you to notice, number one, the truth declared. That is the preacher's business. The truth declared. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Obviously, if there's any place where truth ought to come from, it ought to come from the pulpit. Isn't that right? Bible says in Colossians 1, 5 and 6, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye are heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Didn't say preach about the word. He didn't say preach what other people thought about the word. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's the command. Why would he command him to preach the truth or to preach the word? Because it is the truth. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. The psalmist said, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word is truth. About everything that he writes anything about, his word is truth. He has spoken that word to mankind. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now for the lost, the truths that they need to get, the most important truths that they need to get, is what God says about himself, that he's God, that he is holy. And that he is the only God. There aren't 10 gods. There aren't 5 gods. There aren't 10 gospels. There's only one gospel that saves people. That's it. And that's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's either the truth or it's a lie. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because man, every man, is lost in his trespasses and sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The reason that we know one day we're going to die on this planet is because of sin. For the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 8:8, the Bible tells us that there's nothing we can do to please God. It's impossible for those that are in the flesh to please God. You can't do good enough works to get to heaven. Christ has done the one work that needed to be done. He paid for sin. When he hung on that cross, God put all your sin, my sin, upon his Son, Jesus Christ, and he shed his blood to cover your sin. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people get upset at that. They want to think that salvation is in their church, but there's not a church on the planet that can give you eternal life. I don't care. Join every church in Madison County, every church in the state of Alabama. You'll still die and go to hell. You must be born again. You must have Christ as Savior. Only Jesus saves. There is none other. Peter was preaching that in Acts 4:12, and he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's it. There's no other way. You've got to come through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. He died for your sins on Calvary. He was buried. He rose 3 days later from the dead. And he offers eternal life to all who believe. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the last invitation of the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Friend, if you die and go to hell, it won't be God's fault. It'll be your fault. He's provided a Savior. You accept the Savior, you get life. It's the same invitation to everybody. Doesn't make any difference what country you're from, what race you're of. It's the same for everybody. The answer's in Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And it's to be declared. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the same message for everybody, regardless of their language, regardless of their financial background. It's the same for everybody. And the preaching, the truth declared, is the preacher's business. But even though it may be the preacher's business, we see quite often that the truth is resisted. We see it over and over again. Turn for a moment over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mentioned earlier that if you found it, just keep your hand there, because we're going to look at a number of verses just in this passage alone. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. He says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, Satan is the one who resists the truth. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God said in the Garden of Eden that they were not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them they would die if they did. Satan comes along and he tells Eve, he says, you'll not surely die. What was he doing? He was resisting the truth. He was seeking to confuse her, seeking to deceive her, to believe a lie that somehow she could disobey God and there not be any judgment about it. But she did disobey God, and Adam disobeyed God, and you and I have to pay for that today. That's the reason that death is in the world. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We're all of that. But truth is often resisted. For instance, in the political world today, I don't care who the politician is, might be a local, might be a state guy, might be a national guy. As soon as some truth comes out about them that's bad, they send out their spin doctors to try to make you believe either it didn't really happen or it really wasn't that bad. That's what they do. Well, in the religious world, there are a lot of spin doctors out there. God's given us his word, and their job is to simply resist the truth. For instance, the truth is this: there is only one God. That's the truth. There's only one. There are not 100 gods. There's one God. God says this in the book of Isaiah chapter 43 verses 10 to 11. He says, you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In Isaiah 44 and verse 6, he says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Now get this, and beside me there is no God. He's it. But the world would have you believe there are plenty of gods. The world would have you believe it doesn't really matter how you worship him. Just go to him as you want. The important thing is that you feel comfortable. And since we're all, as long as we're sincere in our hearts, that's enough. No, that's not going to do it if you're sincerely wrong. You know, every year there are people who sincerely drive their cars over railroad tracks, sincerely believing that there's no train coming. But when that train hits them, they end up just as dead as if they were planning for it. If you are sincerely wrong about God and about the way to be saved, you lose your soul for eternity. There is only one God, only one Savior, only one way to Him, only one gospel, and there is none other. I know a visitor here might be thinking, well, you just think Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. I'm more narrow-minded than that. I believe there are a lot of Baptists who aren't going to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, except a man be a Baptist. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Don't care who you are. And salvation, not in a Baptist church. Salvation in Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's all in Him and in absolutely nothing else. But the truth is often resisted by man. He wants to come up with some cute little saying to make it a little bit different. No, no, there's one way saved. There's only one God with whom you have to do. He provided the sacrifice for your sin. He tells us in Hebrews 10:26 that if you reject that one sacrifice, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He's it. Die without Him, you die lost. He's it. The truth is to be declared, but the truth is often rejected. Anybody who's gone out and knocked on doors to share the gospel with people, know there's a lot of people out there, the gospel is not what they want to hear. It is what they need. It's what they need for heaven, but they resist it and will do all they can to keep from hearing it. So the truth is to be declared. That's the preacher's business. But the truth is resisted. That's the opposer's work. And unfortunately, the truth is often changed, and that's the devil's wile. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, change the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now that's done a number of different ways. How do they change the truth of God into a lie? Well, one of the more popular ways to do it today is to come up with a new translation. I mean, what I've got right here is the Word of God. Now, admittedly, it was not originally written in English. It was basically written in Hebrew and in Greek and some Aramaic, and that was it. And it was translated for us in the English language in 1611 by what we know as the King James translators, who translated it word for word. None of these, I don't care, get the New International Version, the ESV, get the ASV, get the MICKEY, I don't care which one you get. No matter which one you get, they all use what is called the dynamic equivalency method. And that idea is this. They read it and say, well, basically, it says this. Jesus didn't say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is perceived in man's own mind, what God might be saying. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want a Bible that gives me every word. I want to know not what they think it says, I want to know what it says. And thank God I've got that right here. You see, what they try to do is they try to change the truth of God. One day, you realize in the last 100 years there's been over 100 new translations of the English Bible? And every time they say it's so it'll be easier to be understood. Well, at what point will they finally understand it? I'll tell you at what point, when they finally get born again, that's when they'll understand it and they'll go back to the Word of God right here. Now that ought to be good enough. But also man wants to change it in other ways. And this one is even more devious. There's no doubt this is part of the work of the devil. And they come along and they've got a cute way of working around what it says by taking what it clearly says and saying he doesn't mean it that way. You've got to add this. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, there are a number of different ways that that is done. For instance, my Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's a group that says every scripture given by inspiration of God. Doesn't say every scripture is, says every scripture given by inspiration of God. That little change, that little bitty change makes it sound like there's some scripture that's not given by inspiration of God. Just a little bit of change. What's trying to do is trying to take away the authority of the Word of God. Now, the Bible's plain. For instance, it says, then Jesus said, then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. I've heard people say, well, when people die, they go into a soul sleep. And that's it. And those that go to hell, they're just burnt up. That's the end. That's not what he said. Smoke of the torment ascendeth forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. You look how Jesus described it in Luke chapter 16. The rich man's crying out, I am tormented in this flame. He wasn't asleep, brother. He's in pain, and he's still in pain today. They try to change the Word of God from what it clearly says. Well, you say, preacher, you've got to understand. There's just a lot of different interpretations. I'm not interested in any of them. I just want to know what he said. Because God said what he meant. You don't need a college degree to understand the Word of God. I've got one. I've got a cemetery degree. All right, I've got one of those too. I've even got a doctor's degree. Take two aspirin, call me in the morning, we'll be fine. All right? All of those degrees and $1.57 will get me a large cup of coffee at McDonald's. God didn't write this for the doctors. He wrote it for you and you and you and you and you. He meant it to be understood. And you just take what he said. Well, preacher, I don't see what's the harm in just changing a little bit. I'm still a Bible believer. Now, wait just a second. Now, guess what I've got in this bottle right here? Yeah, somebody read that? Aquafina, purified drinking water. This is pure water. At least that's what they say. This is pure water. Doesn't have all fluoride and chloride and all that other stuff. It's pure water. Now, let's see. This is 1.05 pints, 16.9 fluid ounces, and I've drank probably about 7 of those ounces. So I got a little under 10 ounces of pure water in here. So now you go and you get yourself an ounce, just an ounce, of poison. And that ounce of poison, you put it right in there. And then you drink it. And you say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, why wouldn't you do it? It's 9 ounces, almost 10 ounces of pure water. You said, no, preacher. As soon as you add the poison, the whole thing is now poison. And see, here's the problem with the cults, and here's the problem with all these different interpretations. They want to change the truth of God into a lie, and they want to take a little bit of poison and dump it in there and say, hey, we still believe the Bible. No, your theology is poison. That's the devil's work. That's what the devil does. The truth changed. Truth about God, they try to pervert it. You see, God is not some old man sitting up in heaven looking down on mankind and saying, oh, that's too bad. Bible says he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. He's a God of judgment. And he is a God of love and grace and mercy. But you can only know his love and grace and mercy by coming to his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Some try to get to him through the baptistry, but that baptistry can't get you to God. Only Jesus Christ can get you to God. You see, it's the devil's wiles changing the truth. And what's so sad is the church has become so watered down. Somebody tells them that 8 billion years ago, there was a big bang. Why not 100 billion years ago? Why not 200 billion years ago? I mean, after all, they've got all kinds of machines that can measure that, right? No. Where'd they get that? Duh. Because they know it is impossible. Listen, if evolution was taking place, it'd be taking place every day today. It's not. It doesn't. It hadn't. Listen, every species still reproduces after its own kind. There may be changes within the species, but horses still have horses. Dogs still have dogs. Cats still have cats. Humans still have humans. That's the way it is, the way it's always been. What about that half man, half ape? Now, I'm sorry, lady, if you married a guy that looks like that, but he's still all human. He's not the missing link, even though he may act like it. They lie about God's judgment. The Bible's plain about judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Whosoever's not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. That's pretty plain. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, that's easy for you to say, and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's pretty serious stuff right there. Oh, listen, you've got the truth changed. The devil's wild. The truth resisted. It's to be declared by the preacher, but then also we see the truth rejected. That's the unbeliever's sin back here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 10. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Continue reading. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The truth rejected. You see, God's got his word. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not, get this, is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already. If you've not been born again, if you've not been saved, you are condemned already. I've heard people say, they say, well, preacher, how can I be condemned to hell when here I am still alive and walking around here? It's just like out in Texas where they still practice the death penalty. There are people condemned to die on death row. They're not dead yet, but they are condemned to die. That will be their fate unless they get a pardon and it is accepted. You are condemned to die in your sin, but Jesus Christ offers you a pardon through his precious blood. You accept that pardon, you get eternal life. If not, you die lost, condemned forever. And when they rejected the truth for a lie, unfortunately, they make enemies of those who sought to give them the truth. That's the case, by the way, in the book of Galatians. The apostle Paul had gone to the churches of Galatia. He had preached to them the gospel. Many of them had happily received it. Somebody came in with some of the newfangled lies that they had back then, that, oh, trusting Christ was fine, but that's not enough. Now you got to keep the law and be circumcised in order to stay saved. You got to do this, you got to do that in order to stay saved. When Paul writes back to him, he says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, I guarantee you, it comes to salvation. Brother Stark's a founding pastor here at Madison Baptist Church. He pastored here the first 5.5 years, went on as a missionary to Uganda, done a great job serving God and all that. I've been the second pastor of Madison Baptist Church, but from day one, salvation has been preached exactly the same. Whether it was from his mouth, my mouth, or anybody that we had come in here to preach for us, we haven't changed that one bit. Not going to change it one bit. Till God changes his word, and we already know that's not going to happen. He's promised that. All right? So you accept it or you die lost. So what happens if I continue to reject it? Well, then you've got the truth avenged. And that's the rejecter's doom. Go back to the book of John chapter 8. Matter of fact, come, and I'm going to come back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. John chapter 8, Jesus had presented himself for who he was. He's the Son of God. He is God. And in verse 24, he says to these religious leaders, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sin. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's pretty serious. You die in your sins. That's what he's telling these people. Now, they don't like it. They get mad about that. But look what God says later. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What about these people who rejected the truth? Well, chapter 2 is first dealing with the second coming of Christ. It's talking about when that's going to take place. The next thing on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. We're going to be caught out of here. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation on the planet. Now, preacher, don't you know there's people that believe that Jesus isn't coming back till after tribulation. I can't help it. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. Well, there are some people that are post-millennial and they probably eat post-toasties. That's fine. But they shouldn't get their theology out of a cereal box. Bible's pretty plain. Jesus comes all the way back to earth in Revelation chapter 19. And in chapter 20, he sets up his 1,000-year reign. Last I looked, 19 still comes before 20. We haven't changed the counting system. You see, you sound awful. Man, you just sound just really dogmatic. You betcha. I believe the truth. I'm going to be dogmatic for the truth. But now notice, there are going to be a lot of people. Let's say Jesus came back right now. Well, first of all, if he came back right now, I'm going out of here. I think probably Brother Borf is going out of here. Denny's looking at me kind of sad. I'm not sure if he's ready or not. I'm pretty sure he's going out of here too. If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, if Jesus came back right now, whoop, you're going up. But you know, there are going to be a lot of people that said they were saved, who never were saved, that never got born again. They'd be left sitting right here. Some of them would say, well, it can't be the rapture. We're still here. That's what they're going to think. But the saved, are all, every saved person going to be caught up out of here. Everyone going to be caught up. What about those who didn't really get born again? Those that did not trust Christ. I mean, there are going to be people trusting their church membership, trusting all kinds of things, but not Jesus. And they're going to be left around. What's God going to do then? Well, look at verses 11 and 12 here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. For those who heard the gospel and rejected the message of their need to be born again and receiving Christ as their Savior. After the rapture of the church, they will believe a lie that God will send and remain lost and die and go to hell. Now, you say, preacher, you just said all of that. You mean if Christ came right now, that some, and I just saw all these people get caught away. Are you saying I wouldn't realize it was the rapture? No, you wouldn't. You'd believe whatever Hollywood told you. If Hollywood told you that, hey, we were just attacked from outer space, you'll believe that. Why? How do I know? Because you've heard the gospel. And he'll send strong delusion that you should believe a lie. It's amazing the things that people believe today. But I digress. Let me move on. The truth rejected, the truth avenged. This is important. To reject God's provision for salvation is to die lost forever. Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Then there's the consequences of those who die outside of the truth, but that for the truth believed, that's the hearer's faith. What about those who take Jesus Christ as their Savior? Doesn't make any difference if they do it in a mansion, in a palace, or do it in a mobile home, or in a hut. Doesn't make any difference if they do it in their tent. I got saved at a radio station. I took Christ as my Savior at WAOP radio station in Otsego, Michigan. Now, it's not even WAOP anymore. They've changed their call letter since then. Moved the building to a different location. They're at a different location. But I got saved in the basement, which is where the control room was at, of WAOP radio station, just north of Kalamazoo, Michigan. I trusted him. And what did he give me? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's pretty good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, how long is everlasting? That's forever. That sounds like once saved, always saved to me. Well, yeah, everlasting's everlasting. He gave me everlasting life. You get saved, he gives you everlasting life. If you died 5 years from now and went to hell, you didn't have everlasting life. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He won't cast you out for anything. That's being eternally secure. Man, what a reward. Truth is to be declared, unfortunately, resisted by many, changed by some, rejected by others, but it will be avenged, and to believe the truth of His word brings everlasting life. But I want you to notice one of the things that's to be done with the truth. It's to be obeyed. That's the believer's duty. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Right after the book of James, which follows the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Notice, beginning in verse 22. First Peter 1, verse 20. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, since ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now back up just a little bit. Go back to verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In the Great Commission to the church, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Sounds like obedience to me. Well, it's obedience throughout the New Testament. That's the believer's responsibility. Now, it's something you're supposed to do. It's not anything you're doing in order to stay saved. It's something you do because, after all, you should want to please the one who saved you. Now, we've got a lot of young people here in our church. Of course, some are back in junior church right now. And, let's see. Let me pick on the Tinties for a second. They got little Frankie. And, boy, he's a rambunctious little thing. And they've got all kinds of dreams and plans for little Frankie, I'm sure, in their heart. They're proud of that little boy. And their desire for that boy is that he grow up and be a good man, that he be a right man, that he have a good testimony. Man, they've got those kind of desires for the boy. Now, as a result, because those are their desires, they're going to try to guide him in the right way. There's going to be some things in his life they're not going to want him to do. I imagine maybe once or twice in his life they've said no. Now, even when they say no and he still does it, he's still their son. They want him to do right. Now, I'm sure that both of them figured that there would be times he would disobey them even before they ever had him. But they had him anyway. Now, perhaps not as bad now as what it might be when they're 13, 14, or 15 years old. But the mess he can get into at 13, 14, and 15, far more serious than anything he's going to do right now. But he'll still be theirs, whether he obeys or not. If he loves them, he'll obey them because they want the best for him. And believe it or not, they know better than he does about what's best for him. So if he loves them and trusts them, he'll obey. Even when they tell him don't do something that he really wants to do. Every man here who was once a boy, and that would be every man here, had your parents tell you not to do some things that you did and you paid for it. You found out they were right. Well, they're right about a lot more things than what you know. And if you love them, you will obey them. Now, you're theirs whether you obey them or not. Now, as much as an earthly father should be obeyed, how much more important is to obey our heavenly father? An earthly father may make a mistake about what's best for you, but our heavenly father never makes a mistake about what's best for you. Our Heavenly Father always tells you the truth. His word is truth. Right. Teaching them to obey whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the first part of growing in the Lord. One of the first things that He said to do was to get baptized after you get saved. If you've been saved, you need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Not in order to go to heaven, but because you're saved, because you belong to Him. It's the first thing He said to do after you get saved. First thing, then obey Him. Just do it. You say, well, what if I don't? Well, then He's going to have to spank you. And the Bible says he does that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. Matter of fact, 5 through 11. The Bible's plain. I'm talking about the truth obeyed. We are to obey him. We're to have a righteous walk, a holy walk, a walk in the light of the Word of God. And we are responsible for a right walk. Now, I could go through a number of different things on that for sake of time. I'm not going to do that this morning. But that's the truth. Do you enjoy the truth? Do you want the truth? First of all, have you accepted God's truth about salvation and taken Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, you need to come to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, and be saved. Child of God, you then ought to make your walk according to the truth. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This is the book right here. "Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." I just figured out a long time ago, God knows best about what's best for me. "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Oh, but this is the book of life. And so I'm going to walk then with my spiritual flashlight according to what he says is right. I'm not going to reject his truth simply because my flesh wants to do something else. I'm going to say, "God, you're right. I'll walk therein." Child of God, what are you doing with the truth today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, would you deal with hearts today, please? You know everybody here. Everybody. You know the condition of their heart. You know the condition of their walk before you. If there are any here that have never truly been born again, I pray that today they would turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. Please, Lord. You said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." If they'll come to you, you'll save them. You'll give them eternal life. You won't cast them out. But if they stay apart from you, they remain condemned. God, have your way in every heart. There are those who are saved today, but they've taken away the Word of God as being the guideline for how we're to walk. God, I pray today they decide they're going to submit to their Heavenly Father. They ought to come to the place where they realize you know best. And God, may they put you first, have your way in every life. And Lord, we'll thank you as you work on hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.